I hope you realize what you just sang. King of heaven, we will answer the call. Sometimes after our time of worship and song, I think we can end the service if only we would go out and live the things that we sing. But we get to continue today with a very special family time for our church body. You've heard it already mentioned. I want to say again, this is a commissioning service for Andrew Orton as he goes with Transworld Radio to serve on the island of Guam. Now, in that last song that we sang, we talked about bringing hope to the world. If you go onto the Transworld Radio website, you'll see it right there. That's what TWR is about. Over the airwaves, through the internet, bringing the hope of the gospel to millions, yes, really, even billions of people around the world. And now Andrew is going to join with that endeavor. It's appropriate for his commissioning service that we go to the book of Philippians. It's appropriate for a couple reasons. Pastor Gregory, through much of 2014, has been leading us through Philippians. And now in January, leading up to Missions Festival in February, he will continue and finish chapter 4. But it's also appropriate because the book of Philippians is a missionary prayer and thank you letter. Paul very much views himself as someone who has gone out from the Philippian church and has a continuing relationship with that church as they pray for him and as they send him. And he's just received a gift from the church in Philippi. We're talking about a financial gift to support him in his ministry, and he's writing back home. Now, Paul's a missionary theologian, and so he can't help but fill his thank you note with the wonderful teachings about our Lord Jesus Christ and the message of the gospel that we so dearly love. But in its nature, this is a missionary prayer letter, and so we can find in the book of Philippians so much about what it means to be in a partnership relationship with a missionary. Carey Alliance has sent and continues to send missionaries around the world, and so we would do well to understand what it means to be in partnership with them. That idea comes out right at the very beginning. Pastor Ben read for us from the first chapter in Philippians 1:5. Paul says that he joyfully gives thanks for the Philippian believers because of their partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Now, the word there for partnership is usually translated as fellowship. So it's important for us to understand what fellowship is. I think we often empty fellowship of much of its meaning and use it rather flippantly. If we get together and have a good meal around the table and have some laughter and conversation, we say, oh, what a great time of fellowship it was. But fellowship is so much deeper. Fellowship is a long-term and a faithful participation in the life of someone else. It is what we do as believers together. In this particular passage, Paul is referring most of all to a financial participation. They have given him as a gift. He's thankful for that gift. But as we read through the book, we see that that participation has so many other elements. The church's fellowship with Paul is expressed in their sympathy towards him in his difficult circumstances. It's expressed in their suffering along with him for the sake of the gospel. It's expressed in active labor by his side to spread the kingdom. The idea that he wants to communicate about fellowship in some ways can be described and has been described as the very essence of that word, a bunch of fellows in a ship. In other words, people who are together, who are headed towards a common purpose or a common destination or seeking to accomplish something, and their lives affect each other. One person rocks the boat and everybody's swaying. We're concerned for each other. We are actively involved in each other's lives. And in this case, it is for the sake of the gospel around the world. Another important aspect of this fellowship of participation is that it is faithful and long-term. He says, your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And what he's referring to is his ministry in Philippi as he established the church and persecution came and he was literally kicked out of the city. The very next town that he went to, while there in ministry, he received gifts from the Philippian church to help him. And then as he continued on, that church continued to support him in a variety of ways. Up until that very day that he is writing, he has this relationship. And the relationship goes beyond the money. Again, we've talked about it in a couple different ways. We'll talk about several different aspects of support and partnership for the sake of missions. But in its nature, it is faithful and it is long-term. I had the joy this week of being reminded of the long-term relationship that Carey Alliance has with the Orton family. This family came to our church. Their very first Sunday in Carey Alliance Church was in August of 1994, as another family from this church was being commissioned to go to the country of Russia to serve as missionaries. And so they came for a commissioning service. And here we are 20 years later, and actually that missionary who was commissioned in 94 is involved in the commissioning of Andrew to go to Guam. I asked Andrew if he could tell us some of what that long-term relationship has meant for him. And these are his words. The first way I remember being encouraged by Carey Alliance Church was through the Sunday school program. Remember, he was 3 when the family first came to our church. I remember having Dot Cadmus, Dottie Bailey, Larry Bowder, and Chuck Neely spend time with us kids and teach us about God's Word. I'm so thankful I had the opportunity to learn and grow in the knowledge of God in such a great way. I would be the first to admit that I could be an absolute nightmare as a kid. So I really appreciate their patience with me and the others, their love for God, and the impact that their teaching has had on my life. After my time in Sunday school, I graduated to youth group, where Paige Adams, Chris Johnson, and Brett Adams taught me what it means to follow Christ in all of my life. They taught me how to take what I learned in Sunday school and apply it to everything I experience out in the world. They gave up their weekends of relaxation to drive vans packed full of obnoxious kids to events where they would have no sleep and be on the receiving end of unwanted pranks. They were there to meet for lunch when I was going through something difficult, or just to have fun and be a good example. My mind races with wonderful memories of my time in youth group. Once again, I'm deeply indebted and grateful for all that I learned from these great men. And of course, they couldn't do it without the parents who chaperone the trips and the moms who open their homes for our events. And Carey Alliance has been right there with me on all of my missionary endeavors. When I went with the youth group to Mexico, and then to Aliquippa, Pennsylvania. You all were there to generously donate at car washes and lasagna dinners and yard sales to fund my way. When I went on my first internship with Transworld Radio to the island of Bonaire, you graciously donated and encouraged me daily. You asked about me when I was gone and eagerly awaited for me to come back and share my experiences. And over the past year and a half, as I've been raising support to go to Guam with TWR, you've asked me how things are going. You've opened your schedules to meet with me and hear what God is doing through TWR. You've opened your checkbooks and generously, all caps, that's yelling in the email language, generously supported my ministry financially. You have humbly approached the throne of our Father in prayer on my behalf. All of these things have touched my heart so greatly. Thank you. And because of these past experiences, I know that Carey Alliance will be with me as I journey off to Guam. You'll be here praying for me, looking at my pictures on Facebook, reading my email updates, and bothering my parents for more updates about how I'm doing. And by the way, don't forget to ask how they're doing with their 2 boys so far away from home. So thank you for all that, and I can't wait to see how you all will find ways to encourage and support me as I leave tomorrow and head halfway across the world for the glory of the gospel. That is partnership from the first day until the present, and confidence that we will be faithful in our active participation in Andrew's life and in the lives of so many workers who have gone out from Carey Alliance Church. Now, one of the significant ways that that partnership finds its expression in the life of Paul and should in our partnership with Andrew is through prayer. Paul talks about it very specifically later on in chapter 1. In chapter 1, verse 19, he refers to his present sufferings. Remember, Paul's in prison. He's awaiting a sentence from Caesar. He might be put to death. He doesn't know what's going to happen. But he knows that one way or the other, whether he is delivered from this life into eternity or whether he is delivered from prison into freedom, he knows that deliverance is in his future. And he says it's because of two things. Because the Spirit is at work in his own life, in Paul's life, and because the Philippian church is praying. I know that through your prayers and the Spirit of Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. Paul values as a dynamic power prayer and the prayer of the sending church for those who go. He talks about it in other places. My favorite passage for missionary prayer is Romans 15:30. Romans is another missionary prayer letter filled with a lot of theology. But in his nature, he's asking the Roman church to pray for him. And in 15:30, he says, I urge you to join me in my struggle by praying to God for me. We often think about prayer for missionaries as something that happens from the back lines while they're in the front lines carrying out the work. But Paul's word, join me in my struggle, pulls us from the back lines, puts us shoulder to shoulder, that's the nature of the language here, and says, struggle with me for the sake of the gospel by praying. We've already talked about fellowship or participation being active co-ministry. Well, one of the ways that we do that is in prayer. And so we are called to be faithful in prayer for our brother. But Andrew, there's something else here. Because this is a co-praying. This is praying for each other. Philippians opens with Paul's prayer for the Philippian church. He says, I pray for you all the time. I pray with joy and thanksgiving. And I ask that your love may abound more and more. That you may grow in knowledge of God and spiritual insight. And that this will produce sanctification, holiness in you. So that in the day of Christ, you may be blameless. That's why we call it fellowship. We're in this together. And we're praying for each other as part of our partnership. This idea of working together comes out not only in prayer, but in the very significant aspect of co-ministry for the sake of the gospel in the book of Philippians. There's a number of places I just want to emphasize too in the time that we have this morning. First of all, in chapter 1 again, at the end of the chapter, the very last verse, verse 30, Paul says, "You share in my struggle." Now, most often when we read those words, we think about the persecution that Paul is experiencing. They saw that he was persecuted in Philippi. They know he's being persecuted, and very possibly the church is undergoing persecution. And it's not wrong to think that way, but there's more to this word about struggle. It's actually a word that is used to describe an athletic struggling. It's used in the context of the Greek games. You might think about the Olympics. All of the intense labor and toil that goes into preparing for these games. And then the wrestling to achieve victory, to reach the goal in that athletic struggle. The Philippian believers saw Paul trying to accomplish something. And he toiled and he underwent persecution for a reason, and that is the sake of the gospel being spread. They saw him do it in Philippi. They know that he's doing it now. And they themselves, Paul said, share in that struggle. They are working, toiling along with him for the sake of the gospel in Philippi. What he's doing reflects what they do. It comes out even more clearly in a very interesting passage, chapter 2, if you want to turn there, verse 17. Paul says, even if I am being poured out, very interesting expression, even if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrificial service of your faith in this I rejoice. That expression it gains its meaning from Old Testament passages that talk about sacrifice that was prescribed for the people of Israel in their worship. There were a variety of sacrifices that were performed by the priests. Some were for the forgiveness of sin. Others were an expression of commitment or of love to the Lord. And in Numbers 15, along with a whole bunch of other passages, you have descriptions of these sacrifices. And then in Numbers 15, along with every sacrifice, you have this idea of a drink offering. Along with the burnt offering, a drink offering. Along with the fellowship offering, a drink offering. The base offering is placed on the altar, and then around it is poured this drink that is an additional and very pleasing aroma before the Lord. Okay, so going back to Philippians chapter 2, you have Paul talking about the basic sacrifice. The significant offering that is being offered is by the Philippian believers. They are the ones who are coming before the Lord, and the sacrifice that they are bringing is their good works. Their service flowing out of their faith is a sacrifice that is pleasing before the Lord. And Paul's ministry is an accompanying libation. It is something that rounds out the offering, that makes it complete. To what they are doing in Philippi, he adds his service as a modest offering before the Lord. I fear that so often we fall into error because we think that those who are going are doing the basic ministry of missions while we send them out there to do something that we don't have to do here. And Paul describes it as exactly the opposite. The church is the place where the ministry of the gospel is carried out. Within these walls and around southwestern Wake County, the gospel is going out. And people are being won for Jesus. And the one who goes is just doing the same thing over there as we are doing back here. A true participation for the sake of the gospel means that we are all about the same thing. And that is bringing glory to Jesus Christ where we live and serve, carrying out what God has commissioned us to do. I hope the day will come that somebody says to Andrew, "Andrew, it's so admirable what you're doing. We're so glad that you're taking the gospel to people who haven't yet heard." And where his answer will be, "I'm only doing what I have seen done around me for so many years by the people I go to church with." Ministry, co-ministry, partnership for the sake of the gospel is an extension of the local church to the place where the missionary is serving. There are two other aspects of the partnership that Paul describes that I'd like to bring out this morning. One is the idea of care for the missionaries who go. International workers need care. We are sometimes needy people, undergoing discouragement, yes, even depression. Sometimes we need a little tweak in our marriage. Sometimes we need some advice about how to care for our kids. Andrew and other families who serve from within our church need care. And it's not only the care that is offered by a letter or that is offered by a gift. It is the care that is offered in person. Please open Philippians chapter 2. I'm going to read for you verses 25 through 30. And think about this as we read. Think about the idea of personal care for a missionary who is serving in a different place. Philippians 2:25. "I have thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, and your messenger and minister to my need. For he has been longing for you all, and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill. Indeed, he was ill, near to death. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I am the more eager to send him, therefore, that you may rejoice at seeing him again, and that I may be less anxious. So receive him in the Lord with all joy, and honor such men, for he nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service to me. The Philippian church is a great missionary partnership church. They pray for him. They give to support him. They encourage him. But they recognize that there is something lacking in that support. There is the personal care that is provided by somebody who comes. Epaphroditus came from the church, and he brought with himself a gift. But he also brought a message. Remember, Paul said, he is your messenger to me. He had words of encouragement. He had a message of care. Again, Paul says in this passage, he ministered to my need. And so there's something about the sending of someone to care for the missionary who is serving in a different land. In fact, Paul calls it the work of Christ. It's at this point that I want to kind of jump onto a parallel track. We're still talking about our commissioning and sending of a missionary, but I'd like to talk a little bit more about Indo 2015. You've heard us talk about it. The Indonesia field of the Christian and Missionary Alliance, where we have our own workers, has said, please come to Indonesia and care for us. And Pastor Gregory is going to bring the ministry of the word. And we have a worship team going so that these people can sing in their own beloved heart language. And youth workers going and VBS workers going. That is making up what we cannot do from afar by sending people right there to care. And so I would encourage you to seriously consider your involvement in Indo 2015. We're not making up this model of missions. Paul described it 2,000 years ago in the book of Philippians. And we care for our brother. And of course, we'll express our care for him in many ways as he goes, and for his family, as he has reminded us. And then a very significant and the last thing that Paul talks about in the idea of missionary partnership is financial support. Chapter 4, the last half of chapter 4, is all about this relationship of giving and receiving. And Pastor Gregory will be talking more about it in the coming weeks. But I'd like to remind you in its essence of two things. First of all, on the part of the one who is receiving, this is a ministry of faith and a ministry of contentment. That's what Paul describes. I don't need this gift. God will supply all of my needs. I sat with Andrew around a table about 7 months ago as he despaired somewhat. Is the support ever going to come in? And I heard his words of faith, God will provide in his time. And we all saw the way that Andrew was released from another commitment that he had. And then within a month, every dime of his support came in. God providing in his way and in his time very faithfully. So on the part of the receiver, you have faith and contentment. On the part of those who give, you have concerned generosity. Recognizing the need, not only of the individual, but the need of people to hear the good news of Jesus Christ, we give generously in their support. And the thing that jumps out to me is that that is giving out of need, not giving out of abundance. There are very few in our congregation who are forced to give out of need. Those who do, for whom giving is a sacrifice, find that their giving is a pleasing aroma before the Lord. That's what Paul describes it. For the rest of us, giving out of abundance requires a measure of sacrifice that I fear that we do not yet understand. But as we learn to give in ways that are sacrificial, the gospel will go out in ways that we have not yet seen in this world. And so we are called to partnership in the book of Philippians. Our conclusion to this sermon, our conclusion to our service, is actually putting it into action. Andrew's going to come up. we as a congregation are going to commit ourselves, even as he commits himself, to the ministry of the gospel. And as we say these words, again, let's mean them. Let us commit ourselves to faithful prayer. Let us commit ourselves to long-term investment in the lives of those who have gone out from among us. Let us commit ourselves to being sure that their ministry is an extension of what we do here. Let's commit ourselves to caring and to giving. One commentator said, young missionaries that offer their lives as a challenge to their senders call us to match our commitment and sacrifice with the commitment and sacrifice of those who go. So next week, when you get a prayer letter from Andrew, you going to send one next week? All right. At least an email. And over the coming months, over the coming year, as you receive various reminders from missionaries and read about their ministries, I urge you, and I call myself, to recommit ourselves to that sort of partnership. Active, participating, co-laboring for the sake of the gospel of Christ and the glory of the Lord around the world. Andrew's going to come up now. In a little while, we will have his family and elders join us as we commission him and send him off with prayer. But first, we have some commitments to make. We as a congregation are going to commit ourselves in this partnership, even as we commission Andrew to go. You can see up on the screen in front of you a missionary commissioning pledge. Now, we usually think of someone as pledging themselves to something while we support them. Well, this missionary pledge is our pledge as a congregation, as well as Andrew's pledge. So let's read this together. Today, we confirm our strong belief in the call of God on the life of Andrew Orton to be an ambassador of Christ to the island of Guam. We join our hearts and voices together to commission Andrew into the missionary service of our glorious King, Jesus. We affirm our strong belief in the message of the Bible that our triune God is a missionary God, and that the Church of the Lord Jesus is a missionary church commissioned to take the gospel to the nations. We join our hearts and voices together, committing to Andrew, depending on God's grace and power, our faithful support of his missionary work through joyful giving and fervent prayer. We affirm our strong belief in the message of the Bible that a day will come when the great missionary effort of the Christian church will end in praise to God by people from every language and nation. We join our hearts and voices together to assure Andrew that we love him and we will remain his faithful brothers and sisters in Christ. And we affirm our strong belief that we are called by God to be a missionary giving and missionary praying and missionary sending congregation of believers. And so, Andrew, will you, depending upon the power and the grace of our Lord, press on toward the high and the upward call of God in Christ Jesus? And will you serve the Lord Jesus with gladness and sacrifice and hope in Guam?
I will.
Amen. Amen. And will you accept the commissioning and the commitment of your brothers and sisters in Christ at Carey Alliance? Will you call on us often, next week you already said, to support you, your family, and your ministry in prayer?
I will.
And church body, will you commit to praying for Andrew as he serves our Lord overseas? And will you commission him into missionary service?
We will.
The Orton family is going to come up now, and a couple of elders. As we gather around Andrew, we are going to join our hearts and our voices together. to commission him into the missionary service of our glorious King, Jesus Christ. Our gracious Heavenly Father, over and over, as we read your word in prayer, as we meditate on our own lives and your work, we are called to recognize our need for the gospel. Thank you that you sent your Son, that he was born in such a humble way, that he walked this earth in holiness, that he took our sins on the cross. Thank you for the day that you awoke Andrew's heart to this gospel, for his salvation, for the way that many of us have seen him grow in the faith, and now for the love and commitment that we see in his life. And so we are standing here to send him out, committing him to your care, to your love, to your faithful giving of grace, of peace, of hope, and of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we ask that you would fill Andrew anew with the Holy Spirit, that each day he would, in his own personal life, experience the glories of the gospel and grow in his love for you, and that his ministry would be something that flows out of that. That as he applies his engineering skills and understanding to maintaining and advancing radio transmissions, that millions, hundreds of millions, would hear the good news of Jesus Christ because of what he and so many others are doing. Lord, we pray that you would bless him and his family, and that you would recall often to our minds the commitment that we've made to him. In Jesus' name, amen.
We thank you, Lord, for your call on Andrew's life. We thank you, Lord, for calling him first to be a child of yours. We thank you, Lord, for his obedience to your call. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege we have of knowing him, and Lord, of the impact that he has had on lives here. And we ask now, Lord, as he goes to this missionary call that you have put on him, that, Lord, you would continue to encourage him, that, Lord, we would continue to be part of that encouragement and that nurturing, and, Lord, that you would use him for your honor, for your glory, and for the advancement of your gospel.
Father, thank you for Andrew, for his life, for his ministry, Lord. Thank you for the passions and the gifts that you've given him, whether it be drumming or any other way you've used him in the past, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the call you've given him to go to Transworld Radio. I pray a special hand of blessing upon him, Lord, as he goes, that whether his voice ever goes out over the radio waves or simply other voices go out because of the work he does, that he would know that he is a valuable part of the sharing of the gospel for your glory. And then on the challenging days and the difficult days, the discouraging days, that he will be bound to experience, that he would remember that this is for you, for your glory, and that he has a body of believers back here loving him and praying for him, lifting him up to you, and that it would encourage him, Lord, to press on towards the goal for the prize for which he's been called heavenward. Protect him, Father, physically, as he goes into a new land with new foods and new challenges, Lord. Protect him spiritually, Lord. May he spend time with you daily. May his walk with you be strong. May his cup be overflowing so that he may pour out from what was within him. Protect him, Father, that he might serve you in strength, the strength that comes only from his walk with you. Thank you for our brother whom we love, Lord Jesus.
Father, as Psalm 67 says, may God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us, that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. Mm-hmm. Lord, we rejoice that we see so clearly your two passions of your heart here. Lord, you love to bless your people. We've seen or heard how you have blessed Andrew through this church, and you've been a blessing through the church to him recently, and Lord, through his whole life growing up here. And thank you that we can be a part of that, and I do pray that that would continue as he's gone. Lord, we also rejoice in your passion and your heart for the nations, and Lord, we're so excited that he can use his gifts for your kingdom and to glorify your name in that way. Lord, I'm excited as an engineer that he can use engineering skills. And Lord, and to such potential, there's so many millions of people that can be blessed to hear your word through that radio station. And I pray that, Lord, just as when I take the time, Lord, to pray and ask you for help in my small job, Lord, that you would cause him to seek your face and just go to you humbly when there's big challenges and things aren't working and the radio might go off, Lord. I pray that you give him that practical skills that he needs, the wisdom to know what to do to fix it, Lord, and to keep that radio on the air. Pray you'd fill him with your spirit, Lord, for that as well as for prayer and everything he's going to need. And Lord, as I was reminded of how you Paul spoke about Timothy receiving a gift through the laying on of hands, Lord. And I pray that even now, while we are laying hands on him, that you would anoint him with whatever gift he might need to fulfill what you've called him to do. We ask that in boldness and faith, Lord, that you'd prepare him in every way, be with him in every way, bless him in every way, so that you might be glorified through his life and service. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I'd like to share with you the benediction that Paul shared with the Hebrew church, and this is for Andrew as well. And may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.